This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, you win? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Welcome to the Chelsea Fancast. I am Stafford Chidge, and of course we are powered by celery and fueled by Guinness, and in my case, idiocy for not pressing the button. But there you go, you live and learn. The title of tonight's show is Magpie Stew, Chelsea Fancast number 1118. And I am joined as ever by the delicious Jonathan Kidd.
Not delightful or lovely, Chidge.
But no, just that was the bit that nobody will ever hear, ever. Yeah.
Has been consigned to the ether between all of us. Yes. And I said I felt that the dish that we were given yesterday was not as much stew as a kind of bizarre hors d'oeuvre that after an early goal and then a strange moment where the waiter took it back from us and then gave it to us again and then attempted to take it back at the end of the game using a rather banal metaphor
that's why I called it stew, because it was a bit of a we ate the magpies, but it was a bit, had a bit of everything in it last night, didn't it?
Well, a bit of usual ineptitude that we
see, bit of old boot,
yeah, bit of old, yeah, bit of old, yeah, old, old. Well, except there's nobody old on the pitch, is there, for us anymore, so you can't say that it's there's any oldie involved in it. But yes, it was the usual fare, I think one could say.
Well, no, apart from the fact that we won, maybe we might talk about
that. I forgot about that. Yes, I'm sorry. I must be more optimistic and happy. Yes, we won. May I introduce our guest?
Please do.
Everybody at home, presume you can't see who it is, even though his name is there, because he is, of course, as we've established, obviously, some time ago in the past, he is, of course, the goalkeeper's friend and the housewife's choice.
Woo, 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 woo! Do, 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 do. It's not that, is it? Oh, you've got a... Oh, okay.
Enough of that. Thank you.
Lovely, lovely. Finally, he has some music.
All the time here. Singing the wrong tune, Clayton, for you.
No, that's good.
That's the one.
Hello.
Hello. We've had the wrong music for you. We've been humming the wrong tune all this time, Clay. He's only figured this out a couple of weeks ago.
As it was.
What's that? What's that then?
Something different. We'll have to work it out.
I have no idea. How are you, mate? Clay.
Yes.
Lovely, lovely to see you yesterday. I saw you. We went to the what do they call it? Founders Day,
They call it Founders Day. Yes,
and we laid a wreath at the Mears grave. Well, I say we. I was late. By the time I turned up, all the directors, as in who turned up? Danny Finkelstein, Barbara Sharone.
Yes. and
Jason somebody Gannon.
Oh God, what was his name? He's a a finance person, isn't he?
Yeah.
And Tom Roddy was there as well. Yeah. And basically, they were there for 5 minutes.
Yeah, and they laid a wreath.
The big boss man was in the house yesterday, so I suspect they were all on a very short leash and summoned back to decide our fate next year, not Pochettino's, our season ticket fate.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it was great. It was, and then the club historian, the wonderful Rick Glanville, gave us a tour of the graves and some ex-players, mostly ex-directors, and a lot of people who were responsible for this fan cast, really, aren't they, when they formed our great club all those years ago. So it was really interesting. It was very, very good. And I had no idea that Emmeline Pankhurst is actually buried in West Brompton.
Oh, did you not know that?
I did not know that.
I knew that. But I've done the tour before, so, you know.
Well, there you go. So now you know.
It was a good tour. Rick's brilliant at that. And I don't know. I mean, he does do them occasionally. So if you ever get the chance to, it's fascinating. You learn a bit every time. So there we go. But it was lovely to see Clayton beforehand. We went down to the stall, saw the chaps, which is all very nice. And then ventured towards the pub, where I saw a Mr. Tony Glover. And I believe I poured a Guinness down his throat. And then he said, "I'm sorry, Chidge, I have to leave. I have an appointment with Lord Kidd and Roast Swan." Tony was in, I said the posh seats, but actually the potch seats would be appropriate because you have a very good view of potch, don't you, from where
we do. He said he got a very different perspective on the match and he quite understood why I came up with the odd gem of noticing what was going on the pitch, because he enjoyed the perspective very much. He was in very good form, was Tony, and made himself very, very well liked by all the people I sit with, who thought he was Eddie and Gary and our Frenchman Philippe, thought he was a mine of excellent information. And he did do that slightly difficult thing of standing up whenever something interested him on the pitch, which...
old habits die hard for us who sit in the cheap seats, mate.
They do. So not that I had to pull him down, but I think...
Did anybody notice that he'd actually stood up?
Yeah, the man behind him pushed him down.
But I mean, you don't really notice when Tony stands up, to be fair.
Oh, that's cruel. That's cruel.
Harsh.
Very harsh.
Accurate.
He had got up. He was getting up quite regularly. On one occasion, he got up, and the man, as I say, who we'd met before, it was Philippe, the French guy, sits behind me, just pushed him down, and he apologised profusely. And on one occasion, realised that he'd used a swear word and said, "I do apologise about that." But,
he's still not... Nobody has yet to outdo my bad behaviour on the first time I went with you, have they?
No, but he was warned not to use the Gareth word. He was warned. So,
I know.
He was set up for that, but he loved it, and he as being Tony, he made good friends. He was terrific.
Yeah, he is one of life's lovely people. The pleasure I had in his company the weekend before that at the Portsmouth Naval Dockyard thing was superb. Anyway, you lot out there, we do have a show to do, and as ever, don't forget you can now watch. It's like Watch with Mother. Who's mother? That's a good question for you all. Answers on a postcard, please. But you can watch us on YouTube live. And you can watch us on Facebook, our Facebook page, live. So there you go. But, of course, you can always, always listen to us on Mixlr as well, which is the kind of internet radio streaming ting. And you'll find that at chelsea-fancast.mixlr.com. Usually every Monday and Friday, usually at 7:30, or half seven, but tonight 8:30, because it's Tuesday. And thanks to the Premier League making our match on a Monday night, I work from 8:30 to 8 p.m. on a Tuesday. There is not a worse day for me to do a podcast, but here I am, because I love you all. So Mixlr, YouTube, Facebook, all live. And of course, you can follow us on all the socials at Chelsea Fancast. And we do upload this as a podcast soon afterwards. And of course, that's on Acast, Spotify, Apple, all good podcast platforms. Make sure you leave us a lovely 5-star review. Listen, like, and subscribe. And if you love us hugely, then you can also join our Patreon website, Thingamabob What's It, which basically means you bung us a few quid every month. And I say thank you. And that's about it. But also, you join lot of other lovely people. All the people on Mixlr, for example, that tend to be in the Patreon account. Of course, they're all on Discord, on our Discord group. And of course, if you join Patreon, you get to join our Discord group. I will send you a link if you ask. And of course, the other thing is you get a Kerry Dixon banner, which is a lovely thing, a replica of the one that hangs in the Matthew Harding end. Patreon.com/ChelseaFancast if you are so disposed to do. So there we go. JK, what was lovely was to see us get, and because I sat at the kind of like we do at the moment, we're a bit like you know, people who have been jilted by their very sexy girlfriend who's come back apologetically, and you kind of think, well, I don't quite trust you yet. So you kind of sit there kind of, what's going to happen tonight? Yeah. But actually, they got a really early goal, which I was convinced was Palmer, actually. But apparently they gave it to Jackson, whose stud caught it on the way in. But lovely to see us get an early goal. I mean, what was it? Yeah. 7 minutes, was it? Something like that?
Six minutes.
Yeah. So, you know, I jumped around, as the song says, and I felt very happy, particularly as I thought it was Palmer who scored it. But it was Jackson. And, you know, we'll talk about Palmer in a minute. But, you know, Jackson, as I've been saying quietly for the last few weeks, I'm beginning to warm to him. He's now scored more Premier League goals, 9, than Rasmus Højlund, Callum Wilson, your favourite Callum Wilson. They've got 7 each. Kai Havertz has got 7.
He's been injured.
He's always injured, mate. He's broken a fingernail again. Evan Ferguson, who's got 6. And Mohamed Kudus, who's got 6. And Gabriel Jesus, who has 4. He scored more goals than all of that lot. And he does put in a shift. And he does try. I am warming to him, mate. And he scored another goal. I'm not saying he's a world beater. I'm not saying he's the reincarnation of Didier Drogba. I'm just saying first season, he's probably going to get double-figure goals.
And to be fair to him, he took the offside goal really well, didn't he?
How offside was he? Impossible to see from where I was.
Yeah, no, I mean, we couldn't.
And I mean, I don't even know if it was him that was offside, to be honest.
No, once again.
Of course it was. That's his middle name.
Yeah, I'm kind of tempted to believe it was him because he tends to be. But it might have been Sterling. Kind of hope secretly it was. No, come on. I mean, he's doing all right. I mean,
he's work better coming in on the angle from the wing, actually. I don't know why that should be the case. I don't appreciate that. That's normally his position. That would help.
That be why then?
That would be one of the reasons why. But the other thing he does do when the ball is booted aimlessly up just to stop us from fiddling about with it on the goal line, he actually got a couple of headers in and beat the centre half as well, which I thought, well, hey, we're making more progress. And he got a very good header in to set Sterling up for that shot as well, set him up. And it's interesting. He has more of a football brain than Mudrik will ever have. And you can see that he there's something going on with him that is better than we have seen all season. If you want to look like an improvement graph, I think he is actually improving. I think there's something to be said for that. Whereas there are other players improve and then they're bad. And then it's the inconsistency of the others as well. I mean, if you wanted to go through and say, which ones do you think appear to be getting better as the season goes? No, you don't. If one wanted to, presuming,
we did it on Friday or something. I can't remember.
I know, I'm just setting it up again. But in my instance, but looking at the game again, you could see which ones went up. Well, you know, Connor obviously didn't have a great game because he was
still ill, mate.
Yeah, you could tell. And in certain periods, he put him in, I thought he was just occupying positions rather than doing much.
Well, I think there were tactical reasons why he was doing that. More of that later. But absolutely. I mean, it's really interesting, wasn't it? Because he started with the 4-2-3-1 and then very quickly went to 4-4-2. Or as I said to John Gordon, who I had the delight of sitting next to you yesterday because he had a spare seat, and there was some very attractive young lady sitting in my seat, and I didn't feel like separating her from her friend, so I kind of took one for the team. And he said, "Mate, they're playing 4-4-2." I said, "No, they're not, John." I said, "They're playing 4-4-fucking-2." He said, "Oh, yes, of course, of course." Anyway, we digress. As I said, Clayton, I thought it was Palmer who scored our opener. But, you know, I was at our end, you know, it's hard to see who it is, really, isn't it? Because we're at our age, it's getting quite hard to see.
Yeah, but, I haven't realised the game had started.
I think, actually, going forward, you know, all this talk of... if they want to kind of scrap the pensioners' season tickets, the concession they should make to us is that they should make sure that Chelsea always kick at our end for both halves. And then we can see better. Because, actually, I had a very good view of the absolutely superb goal that Palmer scored to put us 2-1 up. He is fantastic. I'm what a brilliant... I love him. Mate, I love him. Great player.
He's all right. No, he is good. He's very good. He's can I just go back to our friend Jackson?
No. of course you can. You silly ass.
I think that he's much maligned because
what, Jacko?
Yeah, because he's basically doing something he wasn't bought to do. He wasn't bought to be our main striker. I think there's something, and I don't mean this in a comparison as a player, but I think there's something quite Kalou about him. I don't know how much Jonathan likes Solomon Kalou.
He's got the same birthday as me. I love him.
But the fact is that he's supposed to be in addition to our main striker. And I think he needs to be lauded for what he's doing and what he's achieving on his own. He's 22. And I think that gets forgotten. You know, his goal scoring is amazing, considering he was away at the African Nations as well. So there were times yesterday where I was exasperated with him. But I think I, together with others, need to sort of take that into account. Palmer's just absolutely, his goal was amazing. I mean, from where we sit, the power with which he hit that. I know that certain people said, well, the keeper should have done better. There's no way as a keeper you can expect that shot there. Yes, you need to be on your toes at all times, but that was just superb. And he did loads of other great things, and he's just fantastic. And I'm getting really, really hacked off that Poch keeps taking him off.
Yeah, it was a big mistake. Big mistake.
I do understand when you want to shore up the game, etc. But again, we ended a game. I know I'm going off-piste here, but we ended a game without a striker on the pitch.
We actually have Chukwuemeka playing up front for the last few minutes.
He's a midfield player, not centre forward. Because he's big and tall doesn't mean that he can do a job. But, you know, we won, so I'm not going to moan. But I wish that he would not keep taking him off.
Yeah, I mean, it makes a difference when he comes off, as of course it would, because he's a very good player. But I mean, to be fair, he did take him off on the 86th minute, so he was trying to protect.
Which normally means there's 15 minutes to go.
Well, that therein lies a very good point.
They scored with 6 minutes to go. On the 90th minute, was 6 minutes of that to go. Actually, did you honestly sit there thinking, yes, it's going to be 3-2?
I said it to John. I said it to John. I mean, I was ecstatic when we went 3-1 up. Yeah. And when did we go 3-1 up? Just have a look here. 76 minutes.
Yeah.
76 minutes, 3-1 up. And I said to John, how long we got left? 14 minutes plus, injury time. I said, mate, I still don't feel comfortable with this team, even when they're 3-1 up, which you should be. You should be home and hose. And sure enough, Murphy scores that absolute walloper on 90 minutes. But, there you go. He is a good player, Palmer. I mean, you know, it's interesting, isn't it? I can't remember who I was talking to. I mean, maybe it was on our WhatsApp group. I can't remember, but anyway, people were talking, and we were saying, who are the really? Maybe it was John yesterday. You know, who are the good, you know, there are, it's in what has been a, to say the least, bizarre season. There have been some good buys. Petrovic is one of them. Palmer is without doubt another one. But this lad, Gusto, is also another one, Jonathan. I'm liking him a lot too. I thought he's becoming a top player, I think.
Yeah, he had another good game, other than his bizarre aberration for their goal, their first goal.
Well, Enzo, Chaloba, yeah, Caicedo. Absolute fucking horlicks.
Yes, it was bizarre, wasn't it?
But he was good yesterday on the whole. I mean,
I agree. Other than that one moment, he's a player that you would think, yeah, he's, well, once again, he's improved.
Yeah,
you know, we've been getting an opportunity to play. You wonder whether it's, people keep saying, even we're seeing a lot of here on the private chat was just saying, you know, give people an opportunity to play. You wonder would Mudryk, we've written Mudryk off this season. We've actually thought this is absurd. He just isn't capable of dealing with anything. And yet he then comes up with that. And since he's moved him into the middle, he seems to contribute more. He seems to have a raison d'etre in a way that we haven't seen from him before. So it's, but the thing is, it's this consistency, isn't it? Because he's just likely to come on as a substitute in another game and contribute nothing. But you wonder, therefore, should he start? But then how does he start? Where do you play him when he starts, given that, available, you know, you don't play him in midfield because you're going to play Connor, Caicedo, and Enzo.
He does look good in that number 10 role.
He looks good in that.
The interesting thing about that, Clayton, is that he looks like he knows what he's doing there, which is peculiar, isn't it? When you think he's supposed to be a winger, but when he's in a winger, his positioning is appalling. But I mean, that was a brilliant goal. I mean, obviously, great skill, got round the keeper, didn't fuck it up. Great skill to beat the players in the box. But what I liked most about it was the late run, you know, which we don't see enough of from this team. And I think that's classic number 10 play.
It was brilliant. You know, it's before he actually did that. Can I just read you something? This won't take long. The rip it up strategy has meant that we are now a very young team. So if a certain player is struggling, there's nowhere to hide. This means the strong will survive and more of the latter will weak will flounder. It also means there may be some gems in there who may be lost and we have another De Bruyne or Salah situation. I think that one of those players could be Mykhailo Mudryk. The guy currently just looks lost, but I can't get his debut out of my mind. He came on at halftime at Anfield. He looked electric, should have scored and terrified the opposition. I know that we haven't seen much close to that performance since, but there has to be a player in there. I'm always thinking how much better teams he would be slotting into one of the Premier League winning teams. He would have had all the support he needed and any mistakes could have been absorbed. That was by a very world-famous author writing in this fine publication. And that's what I think about Mudryk. I just think that there is a player in there. And when you
wrote, did you write that?
Yes.
For CFC UK?
This month.
I haven't read any of them yet, even mine.
the ones that we picked up last night.
Oh, right. Well, I didn't have a chance
to read them. I just thought that when you see him do what he did last night, you cannot deny that there's a player in there. Now, before he did that, I turned around to my mate and I basically said, we got 10 games to go in the league. We're not going to do anything. Stick him in. Last 10 games, just stick him in and let him get on with it. Let him make his mistakes. But, I mean, that's what I feel. And where you say, where do you play him? If we've got a front three playing, and I just, for an example, if he took the place of a certain other winger, whose name I'm not going to mention, and just, okay, you've got a front three, let him drift. Let him do what he likes. And see how much more havoc he can actually cause. I just think we've got nothing to lose whatsoever.
It's a conundrum, isn't it? I mean, I agree with everything you said. I agree with everything that JK said. There, I mean, you know, I even wrote it in the notes. I said, you know, Mudrick. Maybe there is a footballer there after all, JK. I mean, if he's capable of doing that, that's, I mean, maybe we've said this before. Maybe it's as simple as the fact that he is an instinct player. And if he has to think about it, he will fuck it up. If he doesn't have time to think about it, he has moments of, I mean, that was, I wouldn't say it's quite genius, but it was very, very good, JK.
You think about it, the last two goals he scored have both been really excellent, haven't they?
Yeah.
He got the goal the other day against...
Both of which he didn't have to think about.
No, well, to an extent, you had to think about, you know, selling the dummy to the goalkeeper, taking it around and then hitting it in. So, what do you do as a manager of seeing that? Do you then say, right, well, let's do, you as you say, Clayton, let's have him. I mean, I wouldn't play Sterling again for the rest of the season. Personally, I think he's had too many opportunities, and even when he gets into position, he tried a bit harder yesterday, but was found wanting again. You know, you just think,
well, where was the trying protecting his fullback? He didn't.
No, he didn't do any of that. No, he doesn't do that. I just meant in terms of he didn't run into many blind.
Are we talking about my favourite player here?
We're talking about Gillette, who when we were talking about what team would be picked, we admitted that he would have to play given the.
I didn't pick him.
No, that's true. That's true.
But we did accept that.
We accept it was very likely, didn't we? At the time, we thought that.
I mean, why bother? I mean. He does. I mean, again, he caused me to stand up and shout obscenities into the vacuum of Stamford Bridge again last night. You know, he either has no awareness or he doesn't give a shit. He's out of position. He doesn't track back. He's not aware of what's going on. He should have scored. Should have scored.
That would have been 3-1 with half an hour to go. That was the game.
Yeah, and he fucked it up. I mean, what is the point? Christ on a bike. They have got to sell him in the summer. They need him out of that club. 350 grand a week for that pile of shit. Fuck off. I've had enough, mate. Lovely human being. Stinks the place out as a footballer at our club. Seriously.
It's fine commercials.
I mean, this is the tragedy of it, you know? I mean, we bought this player with a huge reputation, proven track record, winning mentality. He is a fantastic human being. The things he does off the pitch, you know, are, I mean, it's the kind of player you want at a football club to take you forward in that kind of an area, you know, like the foundational areas. You know, the work he does with charity, underprivileged, the think of the background he came from and what he's achieved, the way he stuck it to the right-wing press. I mean, absolutely fantastic. I mean, he could be, you know, he's almost captain material with that. And then you see him on the pitch, putting in stinkers like that. I cannot, this is why I'm so angry about it, because I cannot work it out. I wanted him to do so well.
Yeah, no, we had a conversation before the game. And one of the people I was with, basically, I said, look, I've just got this irrational dislike of the guy because of what he produces on the pitch. And they're saying he's our best player, you know. And he could be if he played.
He should be.
My biggest problem with him is that is a team of kids out there. He's one of very, very few experienced players that we've got, and I never see him lead on the pitch. I never ever see him go to other players. Listen, I'm sure in the dressing room he's a leader in his own way, but I can't see it on the pitch, and we desperately need that. We desperately need somebody to calm everybody down. Yeah, go on, JK.
No, I can say I agree with you completely. I'm just going to chip in and say he needs to be an example. Yeah. Sorry, I do apologise. My hand was...
He leads with his hand.
But you're right. He has got all the experience. He's been there, done that, bought the T-shirt. He should be able to help those kids. Because yesterday, like so many times this season, we go one up, and then what do? Nothing. We did absolutely nothing. We should have been going for a second goal. you know, when we're panicking, when something, things are going wrong, where is that player? We know that our wonderful owners sold everybody that could be that player. And that's fine. There were reasons for doing that. As long as you're bringing somebody in to replace him, which we didn't do. And that is my bugbear with Sterling. Sterling should be that player.
No, I totally agree. I was a bit disheartened when the team sheet came out. One should never do this, but it's very hard not to, to see Cucurella starting, because of course I didn't pick him on Friday, although JK said, oh, we will. So well played, JK. To be fair to the poodle, I thought, you know, he actually had a pretty decent game, bar two goals, which is what you get from him, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. He was a snarling representative of the mafia for a period, wasn't he? He was like a... I said in the fan, but he was a rabid dachshund. He was very keen on getting, making those tackles, and I think that was why he gave the ball away for their second goal, because he tried to anticipate it by going really quickly up on the on Murphy, who then spun him. But yeah, he'd been doing that. He did that with Gordon, and in fact, he kicked Gordon on several occasions. I'm afraid I think it aggravated his knee injury. That's why he went off. And he and Livramento also had a scrap as well. The ball was going down that side all the time, and he was constantly getting involved in scuffling with him. And you know, we're not getting much creativity from him, but you got somebody who
he put some good passes together, actually.
He put himself about. But yeah. I get the impression once again we're dealing with somebody who is. He's exhibiting an oomph of the form that he showed at Brighton. But to be fair, that's his first game since December.
Well, so he was going to tire, inevitably. Yeah. And, of course, that's when we conceded. But, you know, that's when Murphy span him. He would have been pretty knackered by then, to be fair. Yeah. But it's quite funny, actually, because I thought he had a really good 60 minutes. And I said so. And the blokes looked in front of me and looked at me and said, are you sure? I said, I've gone too soon, haven't I? I've gone too soon on the Cucurella's being good. And then 5 minutes later, he got spun by Murphy. But that was a good bit of humour kicking around, actually. I mean, I think people were generally a lot happier last night. And I thought the atmosphere was a lot better. I mean, it was, you know, I think we needed that. I think everybody needed that. The players needed it. We needed it. Poch needed it. Much better. Now, listen, I've got an issue to discuss with you two. You're going to love this. I know. We have been scoring goals, something we were incapable of doing completely, and now we're leaking goals. And I mean, obviously, one of the reasons why this is, I think, is, you know, I think maybe we've been trying to attack more, which, of course, as always, leaves the door open, maybe missing Silva's wise head. But there's some fantastic, I say fantastic, I'm getting too excited by stats in my old age. This needs to stop. It needs to stop now. Anyway, in the first 13 games of this season, Chelsea scored 18 under 1.5 per game and conceded 12 under 1 per game. In the 25 since, they've both scored and conceded 51 goals. That's over 2 every game. This is from Spy, and he says, is the need for a goal scorer now greater than the need... is the need for a defensive leader improvement greater than the need for a goal scorer? I think this might have been Tim Rolls. Interesting that a supposed Chelsea weakness is up front, yet they've scored 18 in the last 9 games. The defence, on the other hand, has conceded 18 in those 9 games, a lot of which would have been utterly avoidable. Tim's wrath at the moment, Clayton, is hilarious, isn't it? Particularly reading his CFC UK stuff. Right, we're on pace. This is amazing. We're on pace for our worst defensive season since 1993, I think. And this is from The Athletic. And on goals scored, we should be, based on projection, 6 in the league. So suddenly, we're scoring goals, Clayton, doing quite well up front, which was, we were beyond struggling with. And now we can't keep a clean sheet. What's going on?
Okay, so yes, I do think we miss Silva. You look at the defence, and every game you've got a different defence. So that's reason number one. Although I thought he had an excellent game last night, I'm talking about Caicedo, the midfield needs to be slightly more protective. But, okay, it doesn't matter who you've got in your defence. The first goal that we conceded last night was an utter shambles. Oh, it was just ridiculous. It was just one crap pass after the other. And you could see what was happening. You just could see what was happening. But I suppose the bottom line is, if we score more than we let in, we're going to win games. And I think that it was quite interesting. And, you know, this whole sort of the crowd baying every time we tried to play it out from the back and Newcastle pressing and everybody cheering when they went long.
Kick it long.
Really, really, really funny. Listen, I don't know. One of my criticisms of Poch is the fact that he's been there two-thirds of a season and we still don't look particularly organised. So whether he or another member of the coaching staff are coaching the defence, I got no idea. But I think the bottom line is that you're changing your defence every single week and you can't get consistency, you can't get partnerships, and that's why you're going to let in goals. Mm. And yeah, I don't actually think that anything stands to the keeper. I don't think he had a chance with either. Certainly the second one.
They were both very good goals. To be fair, I know we had a lot to do with the build up for both of them, but they were really well finished.
Sorry, Clayton, I interrupted you. Sorry.
No. I was saying that both goals were gifted to them. They didn't earn them.
No, but they put him away well.
Yeah, but also, Desazi didn't close down Isaac at all for the first goal. He just stood off him. And it's absolutely fatal with the striker like that who can bend it round.
He's never going to fall in love again.
He used it. It was Chris Isaac. That's right. That's Chris Isaac. I was saying Isaac, though, Chidge.
I did that gag on Friday anyway.
On Friday as well, yeah. And I did... I don't want to fall in love.
That's what I just did.
With you. I know. I'm just repeating it for anybody who was...
It was bad enough when I repeated it. I felt immediately I wanted to dive into a big hole the minute I said that. I said, I wish I hadn't said that.
Yeah. I'm slightly wrong key. Otherwise, I'd have given you the full rendition there, actually. That worked. But that was... The whole of that sequence was just absolutely appalling, wasn't it? You just knew, all of us around where we were just going, no, I mean, I want to go for fuck's sake, but I tend not to where I sit. Just go for fuck's sake, for fuck's sake, for fuck's sake. We just went, no, 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 no. And you just knew on the crescendo of the fifth that there would be a shot on goal. You just knew it. You knew, with a possible result of it being a goal. And it started with that enormous attempted pass from Enzo from the left-hand corner across field that one of their players got to but didn't control it, and then Mallow kicked the ball up in the air looking as if he was trying to actually kick it over the Newcastle player to control it, to get, but why backwards? And you just, oh god. And then Trevor came out and headed it meaninglessly out of position as a consequence. He ran out of position to head it straight to their bloke who passed it off to Isaac. Goal. You just think that, what on earth? It was just so inept. Yeah. A litany of
ineptness. Very much like this show, to be honest, JK, I think.
This show is shambolic, Chidge.
No, I think it was shambolic on Friday. I think inept is tonight.
Inept tonight. Oh, okay. All right.
A litany of ineptness, I think. Anyway, luckily... What?
Ineptitude, surely.
A litany of ineptitude, yes.
Yeah.
I'm doing a Simon Jordan, aren't I? Making up words. Can't have that.
Ineptness, that's good, isn't it?
My favourite Simon Jordan made up word is competitivity.
Competitivity, yeah.
We
know what it means.
Competitiveness. He means competitiveness. Competitivity.
Competitivity.
Fucking plum. Yeah. Anyway, luckily for you lot out there, there's going to be a break from this litany of ineptitude, and then we will be back for part two. We will see you very shortly. Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app.
At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Cheech.
JK, in all the years you've been following Chelsea, you hardly ever miss a match, home or away. But how would you feel if you couldn't be there and it's not on TV?
Oh, Cheech, I'd be bereft, inconsolable. The thought of missing my beloved Blue Boys live. It's all too much.
I know, JK, I know. It's all a bit too much, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, panic not. NordVPN have come to the rescue.
They have?
Yep, NordVPN allows us to watch any match, even if it's not on live TV here.
They do?
Yeah, they do. With just one click, they switch your virtual location to a country which is showing the match, and they act as your cyber bodyguard whilst online, protecting your personal data and sensitive info like card details and passwords.
Oh, wow, great. But yeah, I bet that'll cost me a fortune.
Actually, JK, it's only the price of a cup of coffee per month, and you can use your account across 6 devices. It's a bargain, JK, and best of all, no more tears for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, NordVPN. I'm so happy. I could cry. Where do I sign up, Jidge?
Well, to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/Chelsea Fancast. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and you'll help support the Chelsea Fancast. The link is in the podcast episode description box. Welcome back. I'm Stanford Chidge. This is the Chelsea Fancast, the Magpie Stew. Chelsea Fancast 1118. And I'm joined by JK.
Hello.
And Mr. Clayton Beerman.
Good evening.
And just to prove that this is a litany of ineptitude, I played the wrong sting at the break. So there you go. We're nothing if not consistent, unlike our football team. Now, where do we leave it all? I mean, we've kind of done. We were better. I thought we were actually the better team, you know, to be fair. I thought we were good value for the 3-1. I think, you know, if they'd have got a result out of that, it'd have been very unfair. And it's really good to see that they've turned completely shite, Clayton, actually.
Yeah. No, I thought they were rubbish. I mean, that's what was so frustrating. When they scored their second goal, you thought, oh, my God, we can't. You know, if they draw, they don't deserve it. I mean, basically, Isak scored with their only shot of the first half, and apart from one shot at the beginning of the second half, their second goal was their only other shot. I mean, they did nothing. They created nothing. They're a lump of a team. I mean, they. I don't know where they've gone, but I don't know if you saw. Sad enough, but looking at the stats of their results with Pope in goal, as opposed to Dubravnik, is just extraordinary. Now, it can't be down to that. I mean, I don't know how many defenders are potentially missing, but they were. I thought they were really, really poor. What I also thought was very funny, and I don't know what people think about Livramento at the club, but he got kicked to shit last night.
He did.
Absolutely. I mean, if it wasn't Cucurella, it was somebody else. And the fact the referee didn't book anybody, I mean, he did eventually, but he let a lot go. I mean, I did actually feel sorry for Livramento. Not very, but...
It's a terrible moment, Clayton, where he pleaded with the linesman to have a foul given. Cucurella had clearly kicked him up in the air.
And I need to ask you, because you would have had a good view at this. The only time, apart from when we scored, that I got out of my seat when I was really hacked off was when Caicedo got booked.
Yeah, but what happened was there was a foul earlier on.
Yeah.
And the referee played on.
Yeah.
And then there was that supposed foul, and it wasn't a yellow card. You may have been able to say it was a foul, but he played the ball. I thought we all thought he played the ball.
Well, you're closer to me from have you? But it was quite interesting because Poch, who's really quite mild mannered throughout, got really angry about that, didn't he? Really?
I think it was his eighth yellow card, his eighth booking. And it, when it wasn't a yellow card, I think I have to say there were a couple of other challenges he did earlier that you probably could have
given him. Which
were worse. Yeah, which you could have given a yellow card for.
And it, is it the end of this month that all the bookings get scrapped?
Yeah, scrapped. So he's just on, he's teetering on the edge. But I felt it was that ref's thing of, I should have given a foul earlier, and I've now given the foul here, and I'm sort of, I'm overcompensating. I'll book him as well. Whether I'm booking him because perhaps I should have booked him earlier. It was one of those, I it didn't seem to have any logic to it at all. It didn't look like a foul. He played the ball, and it was, I think he was making up for the fact that he, I don't know why he couldn't just have blown his whistle and gone back to where the original foul was. It still is in the laws for that, you know. I don't know. But he, as you say, it wasn't a bookable offence, and I'm not even convinced it was a foul. But yes, we were all up in arms. We were all in the same way. I think Tony was the first up with a lot of interesting remarks, whereas I was more in my, you know, oi, oh, ref, oi, you know, knowing that you can't really swear in the in Swan City. You know, there was no Swan, by the way. Very disappointing. No Swan. Swan was off the menu. Venison.
Talking about unnecessary bookings, as you were, it was interesting to see Chuck Wameka come on, albeit very late on, because, of course, and actually, more to the point, I actually got to have a much better look at Cassidy. I have to say, I think he looks quite a good player. He's very slick,
isn't he? He's very, played some Italian. Very, very decent pinpoint passes just in front and backwards.
He's quite a unit. I didn't expect him to be that big.
I think he's one for the future. Personally.
Well, he may well be. But, I mean, obviously, this is important because, of course, Enzo's booked. He can't play on Sunday, can he? Against Leicester. I do believe he's unavailable because of
his cup-tied.
Yeah. Well, I know Cassidy's cup-tied, but Chuck's back. So I suspect he'll play instead of Enzo. So good to see him fit again. I did like the look of Cassidy, actually, because I mean, the only time I saw him, it was, I can't even remember what game now, but he came on and we conceded a goal largely because of him. I think it might have been Brentford, actually.
He made no attempt to close the score down. Yeah. I remember,
So, but I like what I saw last night.
There is the secret feeling. I said stinking. Yeah, stinking.
Freudian slip.
Yeah, very stinky. I'm very stinky. I bathed earlier.
Shower.
Not sufficiently. There is the possibility that some of the stats gurus might have got a couple of things right with some of these players, but perhaps not for the moment. I mean, perhaps Sunday would be a perfect opportunity to play Mudrick in the central midfield role.
I think I'd rather we won the game as it's a quarter final of the FA Cup.
Yeah,
you know, if he has got to pick the strongest team he has available. In fact, actually, we should talk about it now.
Why?
You know, well, because it's a good segue. Because you know, I mean, look, we're 11th, okay? So we didn't exactly move very far by beating Newcastle United last night.
We're a point nearer to them. We're a point nearer.
Well, we are a point nearer to them. Exactly. They're 10th with 40. We're 11th. With 39, we've got a game in hand. So we played 27 and they played 28. In fact, we've got a game in hand on everybody above us up to sixth. And West Ham United are in seventh and they're on 43 points. So we're only 4 points behind West Ham. So, you know, the number of times we've said this season and then had it rammed down our throats the next week because we lose to somebody we shouldn't do. But, you know, we're not out of it for seventh place yet. We're not out of it. We just, again, need to have a bit of flaming consistency. Our next four matches, Burnley at home, you've got to say that's a game we should win. United at home, I mean, we could win that if we turn up. Sheffield United away, we should win that. And Everton home, we should win that. I mean, all of those games are what you would call winnable games. Maybe United might be the toughest one. But, of course, they're above us, so that'd be a good one to win. We're not out of it yet, JK. We're not. And, of course, if we progress in the FA Cup, get to the semi-final, I mean, there's some, you know, ropey old teams still left in there, some good ones to go out. We could be in the semi-final and we could get to the final. We could win the FA Cup. We do all of that. this season is not quite the shambles that we were saying it was.
We could get to the final and play very well for 90 minutes, fail to put the game away and lose it in extra time. We could do that, of course. That would be.
We could do that, of course.
You know, I mean, Chelsea thing to do this season. I know, but it's all very well, Chidge, saying there are 10 games and they're all winnable. But you know, which side's going to turn up?
Well,
I can't look at the graph. And all right, you could say that we have had progress in that we've got a bit better points tally than we had last year already, I think, and we've got we've played decently against City. We've played decently against other sides, but amidst the horror, you know, it's once again, it's will they just succumb to an easy team that we should be putting away? You know, is that going to be what we're looking forward to? You cannot tell at the moment. I'd love to say, it'd be nice to see the graph going up, saying, yeah, we're getting better each week. Yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah.
Well, we've now got as many points as we had last season with 10 games to go.
Yeah.
That's better. Unless we lose every game, which I don't see as very.
Which I just said. But
did you?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I was reading the comments.
You were clearly listening to me. You just let it, you know.
Case
turn. I'll nod a bit and look at other.
No,
stuff.
I was reading the comments. Caroline said something really interesting because Caroline always does say something interesting. She said, "We're 3 points closer to them. Everyone above us, up to seventh, has to play at least two of the top three." I didn't realize that. We only have Arsenal. We've got a good chance to make seventh if we don't screw up a game with the team below. Something. I see what you're saying. So sorry, I got distracted and I do apologize, JK. I will do better. Okay, listen, Clayton, what would be an acceptable season then? Given that we could, you know, it's possible that we could finish seventh and get a European spot, and it's possible that we could get an FA Cup, win the FA Cup. But I mean, at least get to the final, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean. Given where we were, given the absolute shambles that we've had for the last 2 years.
You know what an acceptable season would be is if we finished the season with a settled side that you could just basically say, okay, we've got seven guys there who are starters next season who you'll be happy to have playing, and we supplement that with another couple of players. That would be an acceptable season. I can't see us getting a European spot because we're too inconsistent. We're just, you know, we should beat Burnley at home. Well, how many times have we said that? Even when we were brilliant, we would pull out a loss at home to Burnley.
Yeah, but that's when they had Sean Dyche. But don't worry, he's coming with Everton a few weeks later. Yeah, so
exactly, and you know, Everton will shithouse their way to a point. Listen, I think that I can't look at this season. I mean, yeah, of course, if we get Europe and if we sort of win the cup, but Liverpool and Man City are still in the cup. I watched those two teams on Sunday and just thought how far away we are from them in there.
Although we drew with both.
Although we drew with both, but
also
do we play like that every week? No, we don't. And that's the whole consistency point. Exactly. You know, this is a very, very Chelsea thing. For those of a certain age, this is what it was always like. We basically, I mean, I thought one of the greatest sort of examples of that, and this isn't actually that long ago, well, I suppose it is, everything's long ago now, is, you know, we basically, we went to the San Siro, where Dennis Wise scored a fucking great goal. And then on the Saturday, we played against, we were away at Watford, bottom of the Premier League at that time, and lost. And it was one of Watford's only like two or three victories the whole season. That's Chelsea. That's what we used to do consistently until a certain gentleman came in, you know, and made us what we became. But before that, that's exactly what we do. You know, we basically always turn up for the big games and then stuff up. So, yeah, I mean, it'd be brilliant. It'd be brilliant to win a cup. It would be great to get into Europe. I mean, there are signs of progress. You look at sort of small victories. I look at, you know, Caicedo, Fernandez. I thought they both played well last night. You know, Connor ran his nuts off, even though he wasn't well. As you said, you mentioned the keeper, Gusto, you know, Jackson's showing signs of improvement.
Hey, Clayton, who would be, you know, you said we need a settled side for next season. So who would that side be at the moment?
Well, so that seven that I'm looking at, so you basically got...
Petrovic?
You got Petrovic. I'm sort of thinking De Sarzi, although I'm not 100% sold on him. I think perhaps with another person next to him. I'm not completely wedded to him. I think left back, we probably need somebody because what's the point of Chilwell? Great player on his day. I don't know how, you know, he never stays fit. The poodle's okay, but I'd be happy to see him go. So you've got the midfield three I really like. So that's what have you.
Enzo, Moises and Gallagher, right?
Yeah. And then up front, it's hard up front. I think Jackson is a good backup. I don't think he should be our main striker. I think, you know, if Nkunku's ever fit, you've got him as well. So you've got that six or seven. And then you've got these other sort of peripheral players. I've probably missed somebody out. I've probably missed somebody really good out. Have I missed anybody out? Who else is in? Madueke. Who?
Madueke is occasional, isn't he? He's not really.
Do me a favour. Madueke. No, I mean, so yes. So I'd say that we've got about 60 to 70% of a team that we can add to and can grow. I mean, we're still miles off, but I think that, you know, it's a decent start.
Yeah, you make some good points there. I mean, JK, the question I wonder about at the moment is will these returning players help? I mean, we've still got an injury list like emergency ward 10, but, you know, James, Lavia, Nkunku, Chukwuemeka that we're talking about, you know, will these players actually, you know, make a difference? Will it help?
We can't tell, can we, really, unless he towards the end of the season, he gives them a run out when it doesn't mean anything. In which case, you don't know whether the club will say, no, they have to play because we want to get one more place up the league. I mean, yeah, if your theory is right that we can finish seventh, every game is going to be a must win. So he's not going to be able to give people an opportunity to express themselves just because they haven't played. I don't think we're going to see Lavia. I don't think we're going to see... what's his face? With Benoit, there's Badiashile, isn't there? Will he return? Will he get a place back? He hasn't impressed when he has played. They've got lots of players.
As well.
Got Fofana, yeah, but Fofana hasn't played all season, has he? Which, you know, and they've got also the Fofana on loan at Burnley has been looking quite decent, actually, but still not an answer, not a class centre forward who takes the game by the scruff of the neck and scores something out of nothing, which is what you want really from a forward, or puts the ball away once you've, you know, like in the way that Palmer scored yesterday, really excellent shot, which the
goalkeeper... Yeah, we forgot about him. Yeah, I knew there was somebody I was missing.
Yeah, I mean, he's the first one that makes the
screaming going, Palmer!
But to go back to that goal, the very fact that it was such a good goal because he took it so quickly and hit it so hard. And we haven't been seeing that hugely with the team this year.
And he doesn't mind having a go either, which is also good to see.
Yeah, which is fantastic as well. But yeah, so... but I think we're struck by the same problem all the way through, aren't we? Which is you then get a player who's been injured, you know, and you bring him back in. Do you bring him back in slowly? Do you give him a go? In each instance, like Nkunku, he's been not settled into the side and has got injured again.
Yeah, so I'm not convinced about him. I've got to be honest.
Well, I know, but once again, he played well. And I keep going on. We should never pay attention to pre-season. I know, but bloody hell, it was so different. It was utter chalk and cheese between what we've been seeing in the season.
Anybody who basically knows anything about football has said that Nkunku's a fantastic player.
All right.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sort of that Julien Laurent, who knows a little bit more about French football than I do, has said he's fantastic. And I think he is fantastic. And I think it's really unfortunate. You know, you join a new league, a new team, and you get injured. And you can't settle. You're playing.
But maybe the worry is that he'll never be the same again. Maybe, I mean, we don't know the extent of that injury, but if it was a knee injury and it kept him out that long, it doesn't sound too great.
No.
I mean, a bit like Chilwell. I mean, I love Chilwell, but I...
We all do. Yeah, but
I'm beginning to wonder if he's done for, that he's not really ever going to be the same player after that injury. This does happen. Yeah. So maybe that's what we've got with Nkunku, which would be very, very sad. But it does happen. I mean, look, saying what we've just said there, you know, accepting that we've had a lot of injuries, returning players may or may not help. We've got maybe seven players that might be good enough to take into next season. Obviously, I agree with you, Clayton, that the club, I mean, you know, what this side is desperately crying out for is some leadership and some experience. If they're not prepared to go back on their, we're only signing players under 25, then it's just not going to get better, I don't think. Not quickly, anyway. But that aside, do you think that, you know, finishing maybe seventh, certainly getting to the cup final, is that enough to keep Poch in his job?
I think so. I mean, I have to say I've been quite underwhelmed by him thus far, but I think I don't think any of these people in the squad are his. I don't think he's, you know, we didn't buy anybody in January. I don't think that he's got any players that he wants in that squad. I find some of the stuff that he's done baffling. I find his strange reluctance to bond with the fans weird. I listened to what you said on, was it Friday or last Monday?
I had a bit of a rant.
Yeah. I find that particularly weird, although it does make me laugh because I thought, well, if he's a Tottenham fan, which he probably is, that's probably why he doesn't like our fans. Well, listen, I am joshing. I mean, I do think he's missing a trick. I think the club would have a little bit more difficulty in perhaps letting him go if that's what they wanted to do, if he'd built up a rapport with the fans. Obviously, that didn't save Tommy Tuchel. And by the way, just apropos of nothing, fantastic statistic today, wasn't it? Did you see that the fat Spanish waiter got sacked?
Oh, yeah. They're in 17th.
And Sarri resigned from Lazio, which means that every single manager that we've had since Ancelotti is now out of work.
Been fired.
Apart from Tuchel, who will be out of work at the end of the season. But no, listen, I do think that we've got a decent squad of players, but I think he's working under really difficult conditions. I think the bottom line is, if he left in the summer, I wouldn't care. If he stays in the summer, I'm not that bothered. If he stays, I hope he gets people that he wants in. And let's see where we are, say, Christmas of next year.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question? What do you, using the Liverpool-Man City game as a kind of template for excellence, what's so apparent with both sides is that the very basic things that Tommy Tuchel used to do when he first came to the club and how we won the Champions League was the press. Was particularly pushing people out towards the left-hand side where they couldn't be creative. And Klopp does that enormously. That's one of Klopp's main things. And City do it, but they do it it's the same business of getting four players around another player as soon as possible and then getting the ball back within a certain time frame, which was what Barcelona were doing, what Pep was doing at Barcelona, even when he was a player. So if those are the given, that's the kind of template for excellence, why do we not resemble either side
Is it that we don't have the players to do it? But even the most basic thing of the press, this, it drives me to distraction, this strange thing of one player running at the goalkeeper and the others all hanging back. Is it that he thinks they're too knackered? Because they do a little bit of a press from the halfway line going forwards. They seem to, you think, oh, there's a bit of pressing going on, but it's not the kind of press that we're subjected to when we play nearly every team. Because Newcastle, the very beginning of the game last night, pressed madly, particularly Livramento, who I thought, you know, it was a little bit running around a bit like that early Connor in the season, just with not a great deal of creativity, but sort of attacking winger stuff, always getting into your face. Gordon was the same. And we didn't do very well at the beginning, other than bizarrely the goal, which came from a rather subtle piece of playing out from the back. I was taken aback. I thought, we're going to lose this. And actually, it was a lovely pass. And then Palmer then played it to Gusto, who played it down to the wing. And it was an excellent moment. I'm taken aback by our brilliance suddenly with that. But the most of the time, we were under this press. So if every other team is doing it, why does Poch avoid it with us? I get very, very confused with this.
I don't actually understand. I really don't understand, because if you look at any other Poch team, especially Spurs,
they press.
And Southampton, they press like mad. And that's you're 100% right. I said exactly the same thing last night. I said, look at what Newcastle are doing to us. Why aren't we doing it to them?
Yeah.
I really don't know. I mean, you've got Connor, who will run backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards and press. I heard today somebody said that Jackson did a lot of pressing. Well, he doesn't, and he does a little bit. Our three up front, and Palmer doesn't do it, if you've got a criticism of him. We don't. If we might run from side to side to stop people coming forward, but your example of Newcastle, they were on us. They were absolutely on us. We couldn't. That's why we had to hit the ball long. And that was, and we don't do that. And I don't know why we don't do that. But I mean, the ironic thing is, we've got a young team. A young team should be out of press like mad.
I mean, it's always. I was getting the impression they do it for a certain amount of time. I thought Newcastle. They then relented. They then came back and they stopped doing it. They slowed down essentially from doing it, because they were right in our faces for the first 10 minutes. And whether that's the point is, it's so knackering that you just can't maintain it.
You just mentioned the Liverpool Man City game.
Yeah.
That was 90 minutes of pressing, or 100 minutes of pressing.
It was absolutely. Yeah.
I don't understand it either. I mean, it's more evidence of inconsistency, isn't it? And I think there's nothing worse, as we've seen in the past, about a half-hearted press. I mean, in the days when we had Mason Mount playing, Mount was the lead presser. And, you know, he would press and then others wouldn't. I mean, if you're going to play the pressing game, they've all got to do it. It's got to be synchronized. It's got to be intelligent, you know, and that's what you see the really good teams do. City, of course, Barcelona in days gone by, Liverpool. And you know, if you're seeing even teams like Newcastle doing it, but it's got to be everybody does it. Otherwise, it doesn't work,
yeah.
You know, because the teams that you're playing against are good enough to exploit the gap that's created by somebody not doing their job and pressing. So anyway, so many questions, so few answers. This is the Chelsea Fancast. This is what we do.
Shall I segue you into T-shirts? That should be a slogan.
Yeah, we came up with another slogan the other night in the pub. Buggered if I can remember what it was, but it was quite funny at the time. But we showed them we showed the designs in the pub, and they went down quite well. But yes, we have T-shirts that are imminent. People out there. Couple that are quite incendiary in terms of their content, and there are two that are very much Chelsea Fancast centric. So the entire team, with wonderful designs by Richard Schaller of us lot as a team, and there's one of me and JK, which is it's esoteric, let's put it that way, and there's one with Conor Gallagher and one digging out Clear Lake. So there we go. Watch this space. We'll let you know when they're available.
Cheers, aren't they called Blue Co now? Aren't we supposed to call them that?
Only if you're a wanker.
Okay, we won't call them. All right. That then. Well, no, given the shambolic nature and the ineptitude of it.
It's clear, like, I keep saying this time and time and time again. It's pointless pointing the finger at Jurasek. It's pointless pointing the finger at Egbali. It's pointless pointing the finger at Bowley. I was saying to somebody in the pub last night that we are obsessed with being able to finger, no naughtiness intended there, with a person, an identity. And it's because we've always had this. It's like, you know, Roman Abramovich for 20 years, Bates before that. When this is, those days are gone. The finger needs to be pointed at an organization, and that organization is Clear Lake. When the shit hits the fan, if this club goes tits up, it's Clear Lake who are at fault, not an individual. It's a collection of them.
Briefly about what this meeting was about that they had. This
what meeting?
Big board meeting. They had a big board.
Yeah, they had a board meeting.
Yeah, it was just a board meeting, was it?
Yeah,
I was told that there were Swiss investors there.
I have no idea. You know people who are richer than us, so you would probably know, because who knows, mate? I have no idea. I know they had a board meeting. That's all I know. You know.
What normally happens is it's a steward of some kind that spoke to Gary, who then, you know, Chinese whispers, who then said, well, there was a board meeting and the Swiss investors were there. I didn't know there were any Swiss investors.
Yeah, one of the main guys is Swiss. Yeah.
Oh, it's
he's the one that's about 80 years old.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, he's been there, so they'll have been making a few decisions, won't they?
They will, and no doubt we will find out the ramifications of them pretty darn soon. That's for sure. Anyway, sadly, that's about all we've got time for tonight. A bit of a short show for us, but, you know, just the Newcastle game. What do you expect? Now, we will be back. The Fancast will be back with me, JK, and Alex Churchill on Friday. Ooh. Yes, Friday night to look ahead to the FA Cup quarterfinal against Leicester City. We'll have a Leicester opposition view fan as well, so that will be exciting. You can follow this show on all the social media at Chelsea Fancast, me at Stanford Chidge, and Jonathan and Jonathan Kidd, and Clayton at Goalie59. Clayton, it was lovely to see you, you know, yesterday, obviously.
Of course.
I said, I haven't seen you properly for a long time, have I? So it was really nice to see you and have a little bit of a catch up.
Yeah,
lovely to see you tonight.
Yes, enjoyed it. Very good.
Good stuff, good stuff. And Mr. Kidd, having you over there in the corner. You hello, boy. Potter.
Oi, oi. Oi.
It's good to see you, mental bastard. I love you. I'm so glad Tony got to enjoy your company last night. He was really excited about it before he left. It sounds like he had a great time.
He was great. He was great. As you'd expect. Fantastic. Yeah.
Talking of Tony, he's now doing his observations from Grocer Jack, and he's putting them on our website. He says he's done it already, but I haven't had a look yet. But and talking of which, I've put all of my CFC UK articles on the website now under the view from Stamford Chidge. So if you're interested in a few of the, you know, there's about a 2-month lag. So, you know, I wouldn't piss DJ off too much. But if you're interested and you can't get it, then have a look there. So, right, we better go because it's getting late. But thank you for listening, everybody. See you next week. Until then, keep it blue, keep it carefree, and keep it Chelsea.
Yeah, I'm the Chelsea.
Oh, you blue guys.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.